This is the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Kendall of the notaballerina.com travel blog. Every episode, I'll share travel tales from several fellow travel lovers, and together we hope to entertain and inspire you, remind you of some of your own great travel experiences, and encourage you to hit the road again soon. Welcome to episode 51 of the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. It's all about reverse culture shock. Now, it's pretty clear what culture shock is. You land in a new country, a foreign country, and something about the culture, or maybe many things about the culture, are a bit of a shock to the system, and it can take a while to get used to that. But reverse culture shock? Well, that is, as it sounds, the opposite. When you return to your own familiar culture, but you still experience this kind of feeling of strange things that you need to adjust to and get used to. Now, reverse culture shock happened to me pretty badly when I returned to live in Australia after 6 years overseas in Asia and Europe. But I must say that it doesn't really matter how long you're away for. Reverse culture shock can kind of hit you anytime. Probably it's worse if you've been away longer, but it probably also depends what you've been doing and where you've been up to. And today, my three guests all have some really interesting and different perspectives on reverse culture shock. Now, I've kind of given you my vague version of what it's called, but let me give you a formal definition. So this is what I found. Reverse culture shock is the shock suffered by some people when they return home after a number of years overseas. I dispute the years, but anyway. This can result in unexpected difficulty in readjusting to the culture and values of the home country now that the previously familiar has become unfamiliar. So I think that summarizes it quite well, and I think most of our guests reflect some of that today. But my first guest is Kate Flanders, and we talked about the kind of reverse culture shock she experienced after being away just for about 49 days on a road trip. I say about 49 days. She describes it as a 49-day road trip, so probably exactly 49 days. So she's Canadian, and she spent this time on a road trip, a solo road trip, around the United States.
I think the toughest part at first, and it took a few days. For a few days, I was so excited to, you know, see my family again and see some of my friends and just catch up, even unpack and do laundry and all of that. It was so good to do all of that. But then sort of as I got settled back into a daily routine, I just realized like the first thing was that I really missed sort of the daily adventure that comes with a road trip.
Yeah.
So, you know, literally every single day for 49 days in a row was different. Right? Like sometimes I was still in the same city, but the things that happened were different every single day. I mean, I still got up and showered and had coffee and breakfast and stuff like that, but I didn't know where I was always going to eat that breakfast or get that coffee from, or even where I was going to sleep at night. Like there were days where I would literally be texting with friends in other cities being like, hey, can I come crash with you a couple days early? And so everything was different and just the conversations were different every day. And yeah, it was so hard to settle back into a routine of, oh, I have to get up and work for like 5 hours and then have a lunch break and then and then do some errands and then do more work and squeeze in friends where I can. So that was definitely part of it. The other part for me was just realizing more something that I'm missing, I think, maybe where I'm living right now, which is I don't think where I'm living right now, I'm connected to enough people who sort of do the kind of work that I do. Mm. And so one thing that I loved so much on the road was because like literally the goal of my road trip was to travel all over the US and visit with bloggers that I've been friends with for years.
Perfect.
And it was, right? Like, and every single day it was, you know, talking about our blogs, our writing, marketing, things we hate doing,
yes.
just all of it. Right. And then coming back and realizing that in my, like right now I'm living in my hometown, so the city that I grew up in. And it was just one of those things where you realize like not much changes here. when you're gone. And so the conversations, they're definitely, I have none like that here, or it's been very few and far between. And that's actually something that I've had to then work on, is I've been trying to kind of reach out to more bloggers, or just even people who work online and even part-time, and just have some of that experience, because I'm realizing that I do need that in not in necessarily my daily life, but I need more of it if I'm going to stay somewhere.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. It's funny how you say that not much changes when you're gone, because I had exactly the same experience. And you were only gone a few months, but I was gone nearly 6 years, and I came back to my hometown and not much had changed at all. You know, people had got married and stuff, but like they were still going about their lives in basically the same fashion and lived in the same places and went to the same jobs, and they were all happy. But it's sort of, yeah, it puts that in perspective and it feels a bit unusual, a bit strange.
Well, and it's because I'm the same way. I moved away from my hometown, I think 4 or 5 years ago, and right. I only moved back last year. So it is even that. Similar. Like it's something as similar as a move, though, it does show you that exact thing, is that you can come back, everything's the same, yeah. And people are happy. It's definitely not a feeling of, oh, being back here and everyone hates their boring lives or something. Like, no. Like they're very happy. But yeah, just realizing that, I don't know, like you kind of come back with all of these experiences and you sort of feel like a different person. And I was like, I came back a very different person, and I just felt like I couldn't talk about it with anyone, or like people just looked at me like I was crazy.
Yes, exactly. I think that's like one of those really key symptoms of reverse culture shock, is you just can't talk about your experiences. Nobody really seems to be interested.
Yes. Yes. And sometimes I think I even felt that more, because I felt like, oh, all I had done was go on a road trip through the US. It can't be that different or weird. Like, it's not like I went to a foreign country where they spoke a different language or anything, but it was really different. And I still, you know, being alone for 2 months, like I saw lots of friends, but I still traveled by myself the whole time.
Mm.
And yeah, you change a lot in that.
Yeah, absolutely. You learn a lot, you grow a lot. I think what you said very early on about each day being different and that sort of open-endedness of your plans, I think that's a very special state of affairs, and it's something that never happens when you're at home, and it's hard to get used to living in a more structured life again.
It never happens at home.
Oh, I was trying to be optimistic.
No, I'm pretty good about, I leave room in my schedule for flexibility. But there's a difference between being flexible and, yeah, having that total freedom to just be like, what is today going to look like? I have no idea. And just getting to the end of it and being like, that was an awesome day. That doesn't happen. You know what your days are going to look like, at least a little bit at home.
I really appreciate Kate's main point about, or one of her main points, that the daily routine is very different when you're traveling. Or indeed, I think it's really different when you're living abroad as well, unless you're living in a culture that's very similar to your own. When I lived abroad, there was every day there were things that were different, and I remembered always that they were different. Of course, I got used to them. I mean, I had quite a serious culture shock the first 24 hours in Japan, but then I got used to it, and I did manage to figure out how to buy things at the supermarket and things like that. And I became, you know, I settled into some kind of a routine. But when it's so different to how you grew up, I think it takes, I don't know how long, but many, many years before that becomes a really kind of daily routine, grind, drudge kind of situation. And obviously in Kate's road trip, she was in a different place, you know, very regularly, nearly every day. And that kind of, you know, the thrill of the new and the excitement of seeing something different, I love that and I thrive on it. And coming back to live a life that is more or less the same every day is a really hard thing to do. So, yeah, I really appreciated Kate's perspective on reverse culture shock, even after a relatively short trip, but it's still really significant, I think. Now, my next guest today is Mike Campbell, and he spent a year abroad. He's Australian like me, and he and his family, which included his wife and his young daughter, decided to pack up and spend a year in the United States.
Oh, it was so interesting. So we were overseas for a year, house and pet sitting our way through North America, my wife, Inga, and our then four-year-old daughter, Andy. And it was so beautiful. We were in all of these different locations. And the first place that we were at for 4 months was in the North Woods of Wisconsin, in this town of 37 people. And then we traveled all through that kind of northern part of the United States, I guess. But when we came back, it was really interesting because a lot of people would ask me, you know, okay, Mike, how are you settling back into reality? And it's something that we just didn't want to do. We didn't go on that year holiday to then come back and have our own lives. But it was really challenging in the sense because, you know, society, and I use that in inverted commas, was still the same, and everything was the same. And we were trying to figure out what our new little groove was.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it? Because not only have you taken the year away, you've come back to not continue life as you lived it before. Similar, when I moved away, I left a proper good job, I suppose. I was working as an academic, and when I moved to Japan, and then 6 years later, I came back and I knew I definitely didn't want to do that anymore. And so it was, yeah, I guess it's not only the process of fitting back into your previous kind of culture and friends and life, but yeah, career changes as well.
Yeah, 100%. And it was the same with, you know, when we came back, it was one of the main reasons was because our little daughter, Andy, was starting big school in kindergarten. And so then we had all that. So the traditions and the normality that kind of comes with schooling, even though it's completely not normal to anything in the world, but trying to fit in with that while still going down, a new path and a new way of life, and kind of still bringing in a lot of the lessons that we had learned on that beautiful year adventure that we had with the family. It was challenging, and I guess it still is challenging. Like, we're nearly 6 months now returned. But those challenges, I don't wish them away, because those challenges are kind of, I guess, what I wished for when I had that other life. And I'm working through these, and it's not easy, but it's alive, I guess, if that's the a random way of saying it. And it kind of, I'm growing through this. I'm out of my comfort zone. I'm, you know, moving through those struggles and developing and growing through it. And I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, I guess when you went away for a year, you kind of intentionally, perhaps you foreshadowed that there would be changes when you returned. I mean, you went away to make a change in the first place. So I guess that the reverse culture shock kind of issues are just an ongoing part of that whole change process.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there. The lessons that we learned before we got on the plane and the lessons that we've learned since we've returned have actually been so much stronger than when we were actually overseas. Because, you know, when you travel, you are a little bit on traveling time. Like, it wasn't a holiday. We were living over there for a year. But what that year taught us was we can do so many things that we once thought we couldn't do. Like things that were impossible became our new normal. And that's easy to say once you've come through the other side. Once you're in the middle of it, it's quite challenging. But now that we're in the middle of something new, I just keep saying that to myself, like, this is an impossible task, but you've gotten through an impossible task before. And hopefully in 6 months, I would go, hey, I've got a new normal now and new challenges.
Now, Mike is one of the most positive people I know, and I'm a pretty positive person myself, so that's saying something, I think. And so I have to say, I'm not surprised to see that Mike is pretty much embracing reverse culture shock and welcoming the challenges of reverse culture shock, because it's really all part of how he and his family wanted to change their lives from the old version of their lives, and how reverse culture shock kind of highlights how they've developed and grown during that time away and how they want their life to change. And I have to agree, even though at the time I felt that my reverse culture shock was just kind of getting me down, it definitely highlighted what I wanted about my life back home now once I returned from abroad, how I wanted it to remain different and not get back to that old routine. For example, as I mentioned, when I left Australia, I had what many people would call a, you know, a good real job. And when I returned, I started teaching part-time, blogging part-time. That turned into, you know, a business and all of these, you know, perhaps more unconventional things. And there's a couple of people over the years who've said to me, yeah, so that's nice. And when are you going to get a real job? But definitely my reverse culture shock taught me I never wanted to get a real job again. So yeah, that was a really interesting chat to have with Mike. It's always interesting to chat with Mike. Anyway, my final guest today is Matt Treglia from the Words with Winos podcast. And he and his girlfriend Marilyn have had several long stints teaching and working abroad, particularly in Asia. And I could really relate really, really strongly to a lot of his reverse culture shock complaints.
So the first time we were away was Thailand. We were gone for a little over 6 months and we came back. And I read about reverse culture shock on people's blogs, and I didn't know if it was going to happen to me. I didn't really know. Like I was like, it doesn't make sense. Like, I'm just going home. And the first time I went home, it was okay. It wasn't too bad. It was more just like because Marilyn and I planned on staying in America for a little bit. So it was kind of like, okay, we're home now. Like, this is normal, blah, blah, blah. But after we went to Korea, we've been gone for like a year and a half. Mm. And this is the time, like, we went to Korea, Korea, Vietnam, Japan, and then Taiwan for a little bit. And this is the time we came home after a really, really long time away, like way more than 6 months, like a year longer than that. And this was rough. Mm. Yeah, it was kind of the same thing. Like, nothing has really changed too much. Like, my friends and family are all doing the same things. And that's fine. I mean, that's what they do. It's their lives. But the thing is, I feel like we just have so many stories and things to talk about with our travels that no one else can relate to.
Yes.
And yeah, no one really listens to us. We'll kind of just like throw in like, oh, this blah, blah, blah happened in this country. And they're just like, oh, yeah, okay. And then they just start talking about their office jobs or something that happened to them earlier today where they caught a butterfly. Like, and it's just I don't want to be mean to them and say that it's boring, but sometimes I just feel like we don't connect anymore because all Marilyn and I have to say is about what we've done for the last almost 2 years, where we just talk about traveling and no one else can talk about that because no one else did that. So it's kind of weird where we have this, like, me and Marilyn became even tighter now because we can talk to each other about it, but we can't talk to anyone else about it. And that's really hard because I don't know what else to say. I mean, that's my life and that's who I am now. And it's kind of hard to relate to everyone when they're talking about their jobs and how they go to work and they come home and they go to the gym and then they go to bed. And just so much more has happened to us. And it's just, I don't know, it's so hard to kind of have relationships with the same people. But I mean, we manage. And I just think the biggest thing is that people just don't care about our travels as much as we do. Like, we are so passionate about it and no one else really cares. I feel like for a little bit, oh yeah, you've been in this place and then that's it. Like, there's nothing else. And it kind of bothers us a little bit. And we talk to each other a lot. We're like, yeah, we're really excited to get going again because coming home is nice, but it's definitely hard at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. I had the same experience and I quickly learned that nobody really wanted to hear anything about all the places I'd been and the things I'd done. And they just, yeah, I mean, I don't know. For me, I love to hear about people's travels. If they've come back from somewhere, and I'm sure you're the same. So it's hard to really understand, but it was clear to me that nobody really wanted to hear about what I'd been doing. So I was glad to have a blog so I could at least talk about it extensively on that. And when I moved back to Perth, I ended up getting a job teaching English here in Perth. So I at least had most of my colleagues was in the similar situation. They'd been teaching overseas and come back. So they were the kind of people I could actually talk to. And I think that helped me kind of get back to normality somewhat.
Yeah, definitely. I could totally see that because there are so many times where we say to each other, we wish we had people to talk to about this. That's why we love having our podcast and being on other people's podcasts and talking about it, because it really keeps our traveling going even when we're home.
Mm.
And it's perfect for that, because we love hearing about other people's stories. We absolutely love it. And it really like makes us want to travel even more, because most of the people we spoke to have done much more than us. And it's great. But yeah, that's something we always say, that you're very lucky to have people to talk to about, because as mean as it sounds, we're like, sometimes we need some new friends, people who might have the same interests as us.
Well, yeah, I think that's part of it. It's really interesting, isn't it? Like I came back to Perth and, you know, tried to connect with all my old friends from before. And now, like, I've been back 9-10 years, and now it's fine. Now, you know, we've got other things in common. We've had kids around the same age and things like that. So we've got something else in common to connect over. But when in the first few years when I'd just come back from traveling, it was really hard. And I, yeah, definitely found the new friends were easier to hang out with than the old ones.
Yeah, definitely. That's great. I'm happy you found those friends.
Yeah, someone saved me. So, yeah, it was important. A lot of what Matt said is just absolutely how I felt in the year or two or three after I'd returned home from living abroad. And as I mentioned, I managed to find some strategies to, you know, to help settle back into Australian local life, and definitely working in teaching English to people who are visiting Australia from other countries definitely helped, because my students were, you know, it felt like traveling to go to my classroom every day and learn about their cultures. And my colleagues were often people like me who'd come back from living abroad and wanted to continue to teach. So those things helped, but some parts were really tough. And as much as I still really like the friends that I had before, and still do now, as I mentioned, you know, we've kind of grown closer again. But at the time when we'd first returned, it was really hard and kind of a shock to realize how little, not that I'd been not missed, but that people really didn't know where I was. I was totally out of sight, out of mind. And even today, I think if you asked, you know, a lot of people who knew me back in those years, if you asked them where I'd been living, a lot of them would really not be able to tell you much about where I'd been all that time, despite all of the times I wanted to tell them stories and I tried to tell them stories. But, you know, I understand they're not interested, and that's just the way it is. Yeah, I had people think I'd been living in the Czech Republic or Slovenia instead of Slovakia. And yeah, it's an easy mistake to make, but, you know, I lived there for a year and I don't know, people just, it's not important for them. I'm sure that there's plenty of things from their lives I don't know much about either, but so be it. Curiously, I think reverse culture shock in some ways might be a slightly smaller problem today. For example, when I lived overseas, I returned in 2006, and so I was away from 2001 to 2006, and during that time, you know, the internet was not quite as advanced, and certainly there was definitely no way to keep up with local TV shows. There was no Netflix or streaming or, you know, YouTube or anything like that. And so I really lost touch with, like, popular culture. And that was really one of my bugbears when I returned, that I'd be out with friends and they'd be going on and on about some new TV series that I'd never seen. And, you know, I don't know, it wasn't interesting to me because I'd missed so much of it already. And those kind of things I found really, really hard. I felt like I had nothing in common with them anymore and nothing to talk about in, you know, normal kind of small talk kind of situations. But I think these days you can keep up with that a lot easier. And maybe that at least alleviates one part of reverse culture shock. In any case, if you've had a reverse culture shock experience, I would love to hear about it. Best way to tell me more is to hop over to our Facebook group. If you just search for Thoughtful Travellers on Facebook, or there's a link in the show notes as well, and ask to join, we are always having great conversations there. You can also reach me on Twitter at Amanda Kendall. And you could also leave a comment on the show notes. And the show notes for this episode will be at notaballerina.com/51. Now, very importantly, I need to give a shout out to my fabulous guest today. So first off, I chatted to Kate Flanders. You can find her at kateflanders.com. Her Kate is spelled C-A-I-T. And you can also have a listen to Kate and her friend at the Budgets and Sense podcast. There's a link in the show notes. If you're like me and work for yourself especially, there's lots of interesting stuff in there. I always listen to it. Really good stuff. After Kate, I spoke with Mike Campbell, and you can find Mike at his liveimmediately.com website. And he now also has a Live Immediately podcast, which is a really interesting collection of interviews with different people who have somehow embraced the concept of living immediately. So there's a link in the show notes to that, or just look it up in iTunes. And finally, I spoke with Matt Treglia, and he and Marilyn are online at wordswithwinos.com. And of course, the Words with Winos podcast is a great listen because, well, I guess Matt and Marilyn have pretty similar outlook to me on traveling. So always something worth listening to there. This has been another episode of the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. Show notes and other information are at notaballerina.com/podcast. Join me again soon for another chat about why we travel. Bye for now.
Jackrabbit FM.
For your ears.
Who is that? Hi, Puck Pass.